Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, author of Name a Story, a Bible study set for small groups. Today, this is lesson number 2, Tubal Cain. Well, these studies are written not to be lecture notes. These are written to be discussion points. The idea is that the small group leader is going to facilitate discussion. You'd see there I've got a couple of icebreaker questions designed to get that discussion going. The first one is, does your family have a family crest with a motto? If so, what is it? If not, what would you want it to be? And that's an icebreaker question that would be a variation on the two standard questions that I recommend you ask. What's one thing you're thankful for? And what's one thing you would like prayer for? I suggest you develop a consistency there with those two questions so that people are relaxed, they feel comfortable, they know exactly what's going on. And as much as some people don't like predictability, it has its merits. And I think you should be as predictable as possible. All right, this study is about Tubal Cain. He's another character who's only mentioned once in Scripture. And let's have a look at this. The half-brother of the father of musical instruments, Tubal, was Tubal Cain, also written as Tubal Cain without the hyphen. Two brothers, albeit half-brothers, could not be more different. Sometimes people assume that the members of one family are all alike. The name Tubal Cain is believed to mean metalsmith, that is, the mixer of metals. Some Hebrew scholars believe that Tubal Cain was the first to develop metal weapons, since it is believed that since Adam and Abel tilled the ground, they probably used metal implements to do so, based on those scriptures there, Genesis 3:23 and Genesis 4:2. Some scholars believe that Tubal Cain's inventions of weapons may have enabled his father, Lamech, to commit manslaughter, mentioned in Genesis 4:23. Well, we now know that bronze is an amalgam of 80% copper and 20% tin. How would Tubal Cain have discovered this? So here's a hopefully a fun question. Question one, circle the traits an inventor needs to have and Tubal Cain probably had. Now, by the way, this is hopefully going to inspire and encourage some people to become or to explore their inventive nature. So let's have a look at these hopefully fun options. What traits would Tubal Cain probably have had? A, too much time on his hands. B, a willingness to experiment. C, a lot of curiosity. D, a PhD in physics and chemistry. Well, maybe had A, too much time on his hands. Maybe, we don't know. He certainly would have had a willingness to experiment. And C, he probably had a lot of curiosity. And D, well, he almost certainly did not have D, a PhD in physics and chemistry. Over the page, page 8. Iron is formed from smelting, that is heating and melting, iron ore, which looks remarkably like a stone, which is just something worth pondering. How on earth did Tubal Cain think that he could melt stone? Well, this is the way in most really practical and helpful inventions are developed. Someone just tries something, and maybe they set out to do something, and something else results. We'll have a look at that in a moment when we talk about alchemists. What would have caused Tubal Cain to think that he could melt a stone? Great inventors view failure totally different to the rest of us. Question two. In what way do inventors see failure in a positive light? Now, this is meant to invoke discussion. There's no right or wrong answer necessarily. It's meant to get people to realize that what we often regard as failure is not really failure. It's something else. And we're going to make that point in a moment. But what way do inventors see failure? Probably as, well, hopefully, things that they can learn from. Well, here's an example of that. It is said that before Thomas Edison invented the incandescent light globe, he had made nearly 10,000 failed attempts to do so. When asked about this repeated string of failures, Edison positively replied that he hadn't failed. Rather, he had successfully discovered 10,000 ways not to make a light globe. There's a positive spin. That's the inventor's outlook. During the Middle Ages, before the Enlightenment period was about to dawn, men who became known as alchemists were experimenting with all sorts of matter and minerals in an attempt to make gold. Well, they failed. But along the way, they discovered what has now become known as the periodic table of elements. Perhaps you have been battling with some past failure and could benefit from a change of perspective inspired by these alchemists. And I hope as a small group leader about there, you just pause and ask the group, has anyone ever failed and discovered that it in as it turns out, it wasn't actually a failure. It was something that actually was necessary and it helped you on your life journey. Now, that I think will be an interesting interjecting discussion right there. In a real way, Tubal-Cain was the first alchemist. Question 3. Many scholars see a link between Tubal-Cain's inventions with metal mentioned in Genesis 4:22 and what is reported in Genesis 4:23, which was the committing of what was either murder or manslaughter. What may have been Tubal-Cain's motive in experimenting with metal? May it have been to help his father develop a weapon to carry out vengeance on the person whom he wanted to carry vengeance out on? Interesting discussion point. Lead that discussion and see where it ends up. Well, history tells us that many inventors do not realise the full potential of their inventions. While Tubal-Cain's motives for developing forged metals may have been evil, we'll explore that in a moment, today we can see how God has redeemed the use of metal for his glory. Question 4. In what ways has God redeemed the use of metal for his glory today? Circle each true answer. A. In the production of engines which make rapid and long-distance travel possible? Well, clearly God uses that for his glory. B. For use in telecommunications? Again, clearly God uses that for his glory. C. In the manufacturing of life-saving medical equipment and implants? And again, I would say, absolutely God's used that for his glory. On page 9, as with music or any other material object, metal in itself is neither good or bad. What makes a song or any object good or bad is how it is used. Note which scriptures refer to a good use of metal and an evil use of metal. So have a look at those. You'll see metal objects used in the temple tabernacle, and we're going to argue that that was a good use of metal. But then we'll see that metal was used to make idols, and that's a bad use of metal. Jubal and Tubal-Cain were sons of the same father, Lamech, but to different mothers, Ada and Zillah. This is the first recorded instance of polygamy, that is, taking of more than one wife. This was not God's intention for marriage. Now, just by the way, we're delving into his family background here a bit. How did Jesus describe God's original intention for marriage? Matthew 19, verse 4 to 5. Well, Jesus made it pretty clear that when God created Adam and Eve, and a lot of people say Jesus said nothing about the composition, the makeup, or the nature of marriage. Well, that's just not true. Here it is. Jesus said that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That right there is Christ's definition of marriage. One man, one woman for life. When Tubal-Cain's great-great-grandfather, Cain, killed Abel, Cain's brother, he fled east from Eden. As you read through scripture, notice how the Bible highlights that when someone rebels against God, they head east. But when people seek God, they head west. Or to put it another way, they come from the east. Now note Matthew 2:1, wise men came from the east. It seems that Cain's wanderings, Nod means wandering, so when Cain left Eden, he settled the city of Nod, led him to establish a city. Here's a statement from the Expositor's Bible Commentary by John H. Salehammer, who said this: in verses 20 to 24, the author names the originators of the primary components of city life. Animal husbandry, that's Jabal, verse 20. Arts, that's Jubal, verse 21. Craftsmanship, Tubal Cain, verse 22. And it appears, law, Lamech, verses 23 to 24. Well, let's explore that, because that last element, law, might catch people off guard. But let's see why this commentator, Professor Salehammer, makes that point. Tubal Cain's father, Lamech, told his two wives that he had avenged himself by killing a man, Genesis 4:23. That is, he said that it was in self-defense. His great-grandfather, Cain, had killed his brother and was then confronted by God, who put a mark of protection on him. But Cain did not murder Abel in self-defense. Lamech then claimed sanctuary from God. Question 7. If God was to punish someone seven times as much if they killed Cain for murdering Abel, how much more did he claim God would punish anyone for killing him, for killing someone in self-defense? Genesis 4:24. In other words, what we're seeing here is the establishment of the rule of law. The rule of law that if you kill someone in self-defense, it's manslaughter, not murder. But anyway, have a look at that. Have a look at the discussion. Get someone to read that out and see whether there's an interesting discussion to be had about the difference between murder and manslaughter. Now, this is the basis, reading from page 10, for the legal distinction between murder, Deuteronomy 19 verse 11, and manslaughter, which was later articulated in Numbers chapter 35 verse 12. Lamech's appeal tells that the city in which he and children lived not only had an agricultural economy, an arts economy, it also had a system of law. No matter how primitive it was there. There was an understanding of the difference between murder and manslaughter. Tubal Cain's story tells us that God has probably invested even more great discoveries in this world that are currently concealed from us, but which God has designed for mankind to seek to discover. And note Proverbs 25:2, where it's the glory of God to conceal things and the glory of people to seek things out. Maybe God might use you to make one of these discoveries which could result in millions of lives being enriched and the God who loves them receiving even greater glory. And it's my hope that by leading this small group study, you may actually inspire and motivate people to become creators, inventors, producers. I'm Andrew Corbett. You can contact me on Twitter at Dr. Andrew C. And we'll be back for our next leadership lesson for study number 3.